CliffCentral.com. All right, good morning, everybody. You made it to Friday. And January's behind you. And by today, what is it, the 3rd? By today, all the debit orders should have come off as well. So that's one less thing to worry about. Right? Oh, man. Nobody likes that. That's the shittiest thing, especially in February, because you're like, oh, my God, January's bills, February's bills. All right. Well, we are into the year now. There's no holding back. And anyone who says anything like 2023, new year, sorry, you've been asleep. This is something we did in the first 2 weeks of the year. So you're on your own. There's no space for those people anymore. All right, let's get cracking. We have so much to do this morning. We'll have Ben join us a little bit later on. Simpiwe is in the studio in Johannesburg getting ready. And we have lots to talk about. Oof, there's plenty. There's apparently the Edenvale SPCA has obtained a search warrant to go and look for tigers in the area. How do you like them apples? Huh? Yeah. Believe it or not, the tiger stories continue. So Edenvale's SPCA, I can't get over these tiger stories. So apparently they've said they want to go and check several properties, try and locate a tiger seen in the area earlier this week. The local SPCA was flooded with calls about sightings of a tiger roaming the streets in Eastleigh. A security company later reported that it was sedated and sent the tiger to a sanctuary, but declined to give details. You are not Mike Tyson, and having a tiger is not a good idea. If it doesn't eat you, it'll eat someone else. End of story. Bad idea. The animal welfare organization said it was in the dark since the nine-month-old tiger was allegedly caught by SWAT SOS 24/7 on Monday. So that's the security company. The SPCA expressed concern over reports that private security had sedated the tiger when it was not authorized or qualified to do so. I know the SPCA are trying to look after the animal, and I get that. That's what they're there for, the Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. That's what it stands for. And you don't want people being cruel to animals, but having these things as pets is already cruel to animals. I'm sorry. Unless you are some sort of, you know, in the wild type conserver of animals, there you have no business keeping this in a suburb. It's just not on. It was suspected the tiger might have been kept on premises, however, nothing was found. The local SPCA was accompanied by its national and Santon branches for the property searches on Thursday. Oof. It's just that, Simpiwe, this is your neighborhood where this tiger, this new tiger is. It's your neighborhood.
So there's what? It's close, but not my neighborhood per se. South Africa is amazing. It's all of, like, one thing will happen in a, like, out of the blue, and then it constantly happens. Like, now we're having tiger issues. Hey. Like, what's going on, guys? Like, nah.
Just when you think you've figured us out. Hey, by the way, is that a hoodie you're wearing? Is it suddenly starting to get cold already? It's only the 3rd of Feb. What's happening here?
This is definitely a hoodie. Gareth, it's very much cold outside. Like, and me and cold don't mix. But if it does get a bit warmer, I will take it off. Like, you know, I have I'll show some skin. But until then, no.
We haven't taken any bets on who will be the first one in our new Cliff Central pool. I mean, we've got a pool.
I already know who's going to be the first one.
Who?
On a technicality, he's already dipped his feet in. He's already just like, you know, lazed around. Yes. So he's ready to go. And once he opens the gate for us, we'll all be in that pool.
Well, we've got to make use of it while summer's still here, right? So, and I mean, how many people do you know who have a pool at the office? That is quite cool.
Well, I know,
if you cast your mind back to 2 weeks ago when we just started moving, that would have been the perfect time for us to be lazing around the pool.
I'd just be like, oh, I'm so stressed. Let me just dip my feet in the water. And then before you know it, it's just paddles and You know, it's like, oh yeah, it's 2 hours later. Oh yes, Gareth, what were you saying again?
now speaking, I know you meant paddling in the pool, but there are apparently paddle courts, you know, like the new sport that everybody's playing, paddle. That's across the road, right?
Yes. I'm also trying to get in there, like swimwear, because, you know, I heard it's a very expensive sport, and you know me and money, hey?
No, but I mean, I've heard we can actually ask Ben about this because he's been playing paddle for a while down the road at the Wanderers. So it's worth checking in with him just to see what he has to say about it. But apparently they're like walking distance. So you can literally walk across our road and you're there at the courts. Now, I don't know if you have to be a member or whatever. I think those ones belong to Discovery, right?
I think so.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll figure it out. We've got to still get to know the neighborhood, and there's lots of videos that we'll have to make so that we can share our exploration with everybody who listens. But you're in the studio this morning, which we used for the first time yesterday for Dr. Mark's show, which is very cool. So Dr. Mark gets the honor of being the first live show from our new studios. It just sounds a bit echoey still. We haven't put up the soundproofing. We haven't done all of the treatment that we need to do to the room. But, I mean, just looking around, you've got like a screen up there behind you.
Yeah. As you can see, it says Radcliffe Show. That's all our show for now, kids.
We're not going to give away too much more now, but it's going to look very sexy when it's done. Very, very. Okay. So aside from Tigers, I want to hear your thoughts on this. So this was at some big meeting. It could even have been at Davos. I'm not sure. Where a whole lot of these, you know, world leaders are gathered to talk about solving the world's problems, which of course they never will. But it's really about making themselves more powerful and, you know, and shitting on the little people. So I'm going to play you this video because this is how they opened their conversation. Now, this is before a serious speech with serious people. So there are these two women who are, I think they are just performing artists, but I could be wrong. They might also be activists of some kind. But there is probably nothing more disgusting and nothing more horrific from a pure artistic point of view than activists combining an art with what they do, because usually it's not artistic or creative at all. I'm setting it up quite a lot, but I'll let you decide after you've heard it. And you know, I was railing the other day about how shitty, you know, art has become, just sculpture and painting and all of that stuff. And I think, you know, a lot of people got the idea that I was very, very angry about this. And I am, because frankly, art's meant to make you feel good. And it's meant to improve the human condition. It's meant to be an expression of humans and their best and most incredible creative instincts. But these days, it seems art has deteriorated to basically sewage. So here it is. Here's another example of sewage. You tell me, though, what you think. This is a serious conversation. You can see the world leaders gathered their flags of the EU and a bunch of other countries. And then these two women start doing this. I'm going to try my best to explain what's happening. So you've got all these people, and by the way, none of them burst out laughing, which is what I would have done if I'd seen that shit happening on the stage in front of me. So there's one woman who, in front of the main table of people with their microphones and their flags and all this shit, is rolling around on the floor, and she's possessed by a demon. There's no other way to put it, right?
I wanted to start praying in tongues, Gareth. I was just like, you did it, but I hey, who are you?
And almost it sounds like the one who was standing behind the podium going, cha, 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 cha. She She moves away from the podium, but she's got a microphone like Madonna attached to her mouth. And I don't know if she's singing in a funny language, but it sounds to me like they're both white English women. Okay. But she's making this shit up. It's like some kind of like, you know, feminist language that I'm not partial to, that I wasn't allowed to learn. It's horrible. The one who's possessed on the floor is rolling around, lifting her shoulders, stretching her arms out. She looks like she's being, you know, attacked by Casper the Invisible Ghost. And then the other one moves away from the podium and starts like shaking around and also starts becoming possessed. Now, I really don't know whether there's anyone on earth, if they're being honest and they're being sincere, whether they will admit what I've already said here, that this is not art. This is not an expression of creativity. And these people should be laughed out of the building. But here they are performing for an audience of supposedly the most important people, right? These are supposedly people who have really responsible jobs. They represent countries and geographical communities and economic hubs and all that kind of shit. And these people, instead of laughing out loud and chasing these two morons off the stage, are sitting there stone-faced like, this is perfectly normal. We're not going to pretend there's anything weird going on here. Your face was my face when I first saw it.
I'm shook. I'm so shook. Like, I'm just like, what the hell is going on? I really wanted to just pray and just be like, Satan, get behind me, because that cannot be taking place. And how just everyone was so normal. No one was just like flinching to be like, yeah, what is this? It's also a bit disheartening. It's like, is this the new norm now? Like, this is our new normality.
I don't think it's the performance itself, which is just terrible. And I mean, if kids did that in a school talent show, they would be laughed at by the fellow students. But what bothers me is the way people are bullshitting each other. They're like, no, this is good. That's what bothers me. It's like, you and I, Simpy, we're sitting here now and we're like, that is some bullshit. That is the worst thing we've seen. I would not take that seriously. And yet these other people are sitting there going, this is very important. This is powerful stuff. Good shit these guys are doing. I'm glad they booked these two for our little opening act this morning before we start the plenary. I mean, do me a favor. What is this? Why are we laughing?
And
why are we not? Really? Unreal. Yeah. So propaganda says it's a demonstration of police brutality in a totalitarian society. That's all. Tracy says, if you watch that and you change the music to See His Chandelier, it makes it a bit easier. Lovely Lady Lee says it's like a ritual being performed by these world leaders. Seamus says, I'd rather watch a stripper myself. Oh, yeah, absolutely. The exorcism is of the lady in the white. What the fuck was that, says Aleko. yeah, KB says, what the fuck am I watching? Demon-possessed women entertaining the crowd. Well, they're not entertaining anybody. Derek says it's the vaccines, I tell you. This is the fall of the West and the rise of the East, says Aleko. Nico says, I'd love to hear Ben's take on that. Well, we'll play it for him a bit later on. I'm sure he's got something to say to it too. It looks like a kid having a tantrum. Yeah. It's weird. It's their own art, says Lungelo. Similar to your own truth.
Get away with that. No, right now we don't want your own art. No. This is entertainment for the masses and no one was entertained. In fact, I was a bit traumatized. I feel like now I need to see a therapist after that performance. Like, what the hell?
I'm sorry. When I saw it, I was like, I cannot let a day go by without sharing this with the audience. The people need to see this. People need to know that I suffered to see it. Now you need to suffer to see it.
But
as well.
You see, now we have triggers. You just triggered me, Gareth. You see, in this era of my truth and my world and my nonsense, you know what? Now I'm like walking around with hurt because of that video. And now, like the next person I see, I will feel obligated to do random demon possessed like things because that is where I am.
You are going to be, you're going to hand over the post-traumatic stress disorder. That's what you are. You're now a sufferer of PTSD because of that stupid video. But people must know, says lovely Lady Lee. People must know. You know, I did. I'll admit this. There's like a sick thing here. Like, I had watched it three times. I was like, and I know you're excited that when Ben joins us just now, you're going to watch it again. Right? I know you are.
Can I just close my eyes after that? No.
Really? Rajesh says, that's what happens when cable thieves get it wrong. I love it. Oh, shame, Aneska. I'm so sorry. She says, my three-year-old was proper upset now about that demonic woman on the floor. Shame, man. Yeah. Well, you know, at least we know that even though we've got blue water coming out of the taps and we've got like electricity problems that will never end and we've got tigers on the loose, all of that shit, at least in South Africa, we're not doing that and pretending it's art. I mean,
No. Oh, no. South Africa is bad, bad, Gareth, because right now on TikTok, there's a trend where people, they're dancing and they look like possessed people. Their eyes are going back. I don't even know how to, I don't even know how to do that demonic dance, but I feel like they got the inspiration from this lady. You know, someone watched that and was like, aha, let's bring this on to TikTok for the kids. So yeah, we are in the dark. We're in the danger. How about
Simpiwe, we try and do our own version around the pool.
I just so happened to fall in the pool.
We do Friday morning exercises around the pool with that as our backtrack. I think it would be so funny. Jesus. Well, I mean, that asteroid that passed us by yesterday that I spoke to Pumi about should come a bit closer. That's all I'm saying. We're ready for it. We are ready. Yeah. What do you think? We'll talk about this with Ben. He actually went on some other show the other day and spoke about this Tottenham Hotspur sponsorship deal. Are you a big supporter of this, Simpiwe? What do you think?
No, I am not. I am outraged by this wastage, if I could put it like that, right? Yes, we understand that different departments get their own budgets and they can do whatever. But I think he needs to read the room. That's the issue, is that currently right now there's potholes, shitting, tigers roaming around, like South Africa is going through the most. And then you're going to have the audacity to be lecturing us to say, hey, this money is going to bring in more tourists and what we're doing is for the betterment of the tourist industry in South Africa. It's like, Sir, go to hell.
You know, we'll get into it with Ben just now. I'm sure he's got a useful take on it because he actually knows something about Tottenham Hotspurs for starters. I mean, he certainly knows more than me. But a friend of mine sent me a voice note saying, is this shit for real? A different friend. And I was like, I'm afraid it is. What can I tell you? Stranger things have happened. So we've started the morning in a very strange way. Tigers, demonic possession, Tottenham Hotspurs. This is not a usual Friday. Here's a voice note. And I want you to throw in your two cents here, because yesterday I heard you've been on a tour of all the different coffee places and you've decided that you know which one makes the best coffee. But I mean, this could be like exactly what we need to hear this morning. So here it is. First of all, this one.
Good morning, Cliff Central team. Well, you did ask for coffee machine suggestions, and we are looking after a DeLonghi machine for somebody at the moment, and it is fantastic. The latest version of it is on special at the Culinarium at the moment. I'll send you a link, and I'll take a picture of the one we have, because I can't take a video because load shitting.
Load shitting. So thank you, Beth. She obviously is not going to give us her machine, so she wants us to buy one. And just send me the price, because I've seen some prices for these things that are out of this world, and I'm not paying an absolute fortune for it. I'm sorry. I'm a coffee fan, but I'm not that much of a – I'm not like a – you know these people? Some of these people – I know somebody who has one of those big – you know the ones that you see in those coffee shops?
Yes.
I know some people who have those in their house. Yeah, that's next level.
What?
I know you have.
You got a whole, like, it's a coffee machine, but like the proper I could open up my own cafe, coffee machine in your house, chilling like a villain, just because you can. Gareth, your people move different, eh?
So tell me now about where you've been and what you've discovered, because we need your intel on coffee.
So I'm trying to expand my palate, I think, when it comes to just beverages. And I am trying different coffee spots. I'm trying to have my coffee with no sugar. That took me a minute to adjust the whole no sugar in my coffee. And I was like, what kind of world is this? I'm not okay. And then people were like, oh yeah, but you're still having it with milk. You have to get rid of the milk. And I was like, ooh, guys. But at the moment, I've just gone to the typical Seattle, Starbucks, Motherland. There's another coffee store not too far from where I stay. And the consensus is you guys just overhype coffee a bit too much, hey?
All right. I mean, this is interesting.
I mean, it's a great beverage, but at the end of the day, I'm just I don't understand. It's just so bitter. And it's you can taste the quality in the beans and whatnot, you know, now I understand, oh, this is a nice bitter. This is an ugly bitter. This is a... At the end of the day, it's still bitter.
All right. So actually, we're not talking to a coffee aficionado here. You just send no, because listen, I'm not either. I will admit. You remember Mbulelo? He used to tell us about the difference between Kenyan and Colombian beans, and you know he tried millions of different coffees from all over the world. Now I'm not in that level. I would say I'm a out of 10. If you know, these serious, serious coffee people are a 10, and the people who drink green coffee from the tin are at a 1. I'm probably a 6 or 7 maximum. I reckon you're probably a 4 or 5, Simpiwe.
I'm leveling up. I was the one. You know, literally, ooh. I was the girl who's green coffee, Montebella. Ooh, that thing. There's nothing. Now I've been exposed, and I'm oh, that I understand why you guys say that thing is garbage. I'm just trying to. So I'm getting there. Don't worry, guys. Very soon, quick and in a hurry, I'll also be oh, if it's not from Kenya, I don't want it. If it's not from Ghana, I don't want it. But baby steps.
So Tracy says a friend of hers used to drag her big ass coffee barista machine along when she went camping. Seriously, camping. That's insane. Yeah. I mean, where do you even plug that in? And then a serious question from Sne, who says, speaking of coffee, do you get headaches when you quit coffee? I don't think I'm addicted. I don't have to have coffee. If I don't have it, I'll be fine. It's more of a thing to do. It's I suppose it's drinking for me because it's a social thing. And at the office, I drink coffee, but I wouldn't normally drink a ton of coffee at home. I'll have one in the morning. And then if I really need one because I'm feeling very tired during the day, I'll have one. So I haven't really had to quit yet. Mm. And I suppose, you know, I don't know the answer is the short version of that, Snare. Hey, Ben, what's up?
Hey, guys. Happy Friday.
Yes, happy Friday indeed. Ben, we've been so excited to show you something this morning.
Welcome, Ben.
Simpiwe and I have been waiting because I played something for her earlier and it completely ruined her day. She says she has PTSD. And now I'm going to do it to you. So a quick setup is that this is two performers at some world leader conference. I don't know if you heard the first part of the show, so I'm not going to gild the lily. So I'm just going to let you see this because we were talking about how art has deteriorated. And then someone sent me this clip on WhatsApp and I watched it three times. And then this morning is the fourth. And I'm just a little bit concerned that this thing is becoming, it's crept into my head and it's not leaving. And the more I watch it, the more disturbing it gets. So it's these two women who are there. They're feminists. They're doing some kind of interpretive dance thing. And they're singing. Well, the one is singing at the same time. The one is behind a podium and the other one is writhing around on the floor like a demon possessed nutcase in the front. But take a listen because this is going, and watch. This is going to change your life this Friday morning, Ben, just for you. And we want to hear what your thoughts are afterwards. Oh my God, I can't get enough. It's so bad.
I've never seen someone harness epilepsy like that ever. That is incredible. Wow.
Oh, Jesus.
Let's all go there because that's where our minds are. Imagine you take that girl home after a night of tequila and maybe a little bit of MDMA.
Oh, my God.
She would break your bedroom, not just you.
Well, I mean, that's not to even talk about the one who's behind the counter or the, behind the lectern and then moves out and starts.
I absolutely love that the bald guy in the front row, he's looking at this going, what?
No, he isn't. He's keeping deadly serious. He's taking it as seriously as he thinks he has to, you know?
Yeah, but you can see he's just thinking, this is ridiculous. How much longer must I endure this? What is it? Like, do you know what it actually is?
It was apparently at some world leaders conference, Davos or something like that. It's very weird. Ben, what happened, says Ricky. The last time I saw you on the show, you were black.
Ricky, I've been having a rough week of no sleep, and I'm in my office. Maybe the lighting is a bit harsh on me right now. Thanks for noticing.
All right. Simpiwe seems to have lost her connection, so we'll get back to her in a minute. But while we're on the fun stuff, Ben, I thought you might enjoy this too. Have you heard of thruples?
That sounds like couples who want an extra bit of fun.
Correct. Now, it's become quite a thing. Unsurprisingly, it is mostly a thing for people, you know, who tend not to believe in the traditional family, because I don't know too many traditional families where there are, you know, two women and one man, or two men and one woman. But here it is. Here's a little video, and they do it irritatingly, as everything on TikTok is done these days, to some kind of soundtrack. So I really shouldn't play this, because otherwise we get warnings from YouTube that we're using other people's copyrighted material, which is ridiculous because people on TikTok are using it and nobody's shouting at them, right? I'm gonna just show you this, and then, you know, we'll hear your comments again, just like with the crazy chanting and dancing demon possessed feminists just now. Here's some more people who really should be expunged. You know, last week we played this great game of how fucked are we, and I'm really just continuing on that trend, because when I find stuff like this, I save it for a Friday, because I know how much you and Simpiwe love it. All right, so here we go. Here's a thruple just for you and Simpiwe this morning. All right, Simpiwe, you ready? Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Fine. I am Drew, I am Danny, and we are not the same person. We may have similar lives, we may have similar wives, but we are different nonetheless. And if you took the time to get to know us for a minute, you'd see
that poor dog, the things that dog must see or can't unsee.
So, first of all, why do people always feel the need to attach some really terrible song to every TikTok or Instagram reel or anything else that they do? I will never get over this. As a person who loves music, and I find reasons to put music into every part of my life, I do not see why people have to use horrible songs like that to try and, I don't know, soften how...
Yeah, it's the new filter. It's like people can't just put a picture up. They need to, you know, mess that up with the lighting. That music is a new filter. That's why it's there.
All right. That's the first question. Second question is, those three must have the ugliest sex in the whole world. I don't know how it works, whether it's that poor guy is like trying to service both the girls, whether the girls both ignore him. It doesn't look like it's a good situation for any of the three of them. I don't think any of them goes, whoa, afterwards and lights up a ciggy and goes, shit, that was good. Okay, I can't imagine.
Plot twist. They hire a big Ecuadorian man to do all the jobs, and he sits back and watches the two of them. Take that, Truffles. That's what really happens.
I don't know how it works, but there's your thruple for this morning, you know, to continue the how fucked are we theme from last week. So I don't know, guys. I mean, I'm just always looking for new and exciting things to show you on a Friday. It's become my new favorite game.
After this game, Gareth, I think I might have to speak to Dr. Hanan. Like, even my laptop was just like, oh, no, can't do this. So
you quit the show just somewhere in the middle of it.
That was not even me. My laptop said, this is not the kind of content you need to expose yourself to. So I'm going to be good for you and just switch off right now because that's what you need. And yeah, I'm not mad at that because, wow, I'm being traumatized right now.
Andre says, I feel ashamed to have watched that. Absolutely cringe. Mo Rabbit says, like the previous video, kill it with fire. Oh, TikTok is trash. That's why no one cares if they use copyrighted material. We're live on TikTok this morning, by the way. It's something that Ryan's trying. So, hey, China. I don't know what happens. People are doing this in the background. It's always the inbreds that do this type of stuff, says Aleko. Well, it isn't. I mean, this is becoming more and more. That's the norm, actually. I think the best song could have been Who Let the Dogs Out? Oh, that's very mean, Tyron. Very mean. They can never find the remotes until one of the girls stands up. People have jokes this morning. People have jokes.
That's a good one.
All right. Well, let's talk about some other things because this is very important. Ben was actually on an extremely important show yesterday. Do you want to tell us what it was called? Because I actually saved this on my phone just so I could bring it up with you this morning. Ben was on something called, what is this? It's called Vision View Sports Radio.
Yeah, that's me. I really like the people on that show. They're actually very good hosts, which is not to say that most people are shit hosts, but I've been on two interviews this week where the hosts were actually, they were impeccable, like good knowledge base. They let you talk.
All right.
They weren't insecure the fact that you might be smarter than them. Like, just good hosts, you know, like you have here. Good hosts who actually really just want to have a good interview. Maybe it's just TV that's just so shit. Maybe I'm yeah, that's it. Yeah, Gareth, it was nice having conversations again with people who want to just take on topics, you know, because here we obviously do it, but here it's completely lighthearted and is always going to sort of like deteriorate into some sort of horrible humor. But I had serious conversations this week.
Okay, very good. And you were talking about this Tottenham Hotspur deal that was on the table and may still be on the table for R1 billion for SA Tourism. Simpiwe wants to weigh in on this too because she thinks it's outrageous and she's horrified and she thinks it's, you know, the audacity of this government to be talking about this stuff. But what do you think before we get into an argument about this?
No, I think Simpiwe should kick us off because whenever she tackles topics, I think there's a very nice and balanced. So you go for it.
Well, I just think he's not reading the room of South Africa. And that's, you know, right now there's load shedding, water shedding. There are tigers on the loose. And then you spend R1 billion, not even just a couple of millions, R1 billion, R1 billion for what? Tourism, international tourism. And then they're going to come here and sit for 4 or 5 hours of load shedding.
Yeah.
Make sense.
So that is kind of my big takeout here is that the tourism department has to create tourism. So it's not their job to fix potholes or, you know, put all the muggers and the murderers into jail. Their whole job is to say, hey, foreigner, look, this is South Africa. Come to it. It's just for creating hooks. So they need to buy billboards, which is exactly what Spurs is. That little shirt that they wear is a billboard. But it's okay. It's a billboard that gets more eyes and more attention than anything that we could do personally. And, you know, there's a very good point that a good friend of mine made, that would you prefer Spurs having a billion to do something, or would you prefer the ANC to have a billion to do something? Because if the ANC had to create a billboard for R1 billion, it would probably be like 6x4 meters in Rosettenville, and it'll probably be on fire. And no one will see it, you know, where everyone watches, lots of people watch Spurs. But I think that the point you make is really good. It's like, we totally get that you need to spend money to make money, and you've got to advertise and you've got to get out there. But I mean, I know this because I've been working on a tech product for the last 3 years. It wasn't ready in the beginning because we didn't have the money and there was problems. So do you go out to the world and try to get everyone to love this thing, even though it's not great? Because then you think like, shit, maybe I made the wrong first impression now. Like, now that everyone's going to look at this thing as being substandard. And this country right now is substandard. The tourism is amazing. Like, I love this place. I visit South Africa every single month. I go away. But the crime is shit. The infrastructure is kind of failing a little bit. And it isn't great when you got to try to tell a foreigner, oh, we don't have power for the next 4 hours. And they're like, okay, it's not amazing. Yeah. So yeah. It's a real balance. Like, it's SA Tourism's job to try to get people to come here. So they are essentially doing their job. And I think that they've been courting a British team for quite some time. You know, Rwanda has done a big deal with Arsenal over the last few years, and that's apparently created like a 30% uptick in tourism. People don't want to just go see gorillas. They're happy to go see Rwanda because every time they watch every time they watch Arsenal, it says visit Rwanda. And when people watch football, they're also drinking, right? So after a couple of beers, they're going, oh, I should probably go visit Rwanda. Let's fuck that. So it's good to be in front of rich, drunk people. And I think that's what Spurs will give us.
Spurs a particularly good team, or are we just getting them at a good price?
Look, they're a high-profile team. They've made a Champions League final, I think, four years ago. They've been quite shit in the league. They haven't won it, I think, ever. You know, they're very well known. Like, it's a big brand, you know. Like, they've got probably the most innovative and expensive stadium in the whole world. They host NFL games at the stadium as well. So they're quite multifaceted in how they see themselves as a big brand. But yeah, they're a big team, you know. They're a big team, and they've got big exposure around their games. And they're playing against bigger teams, you know. Like, they play against Arsenal and Man City and Chelsea. So everyone will see that thing. But okay. what are they coming to is the question that we all have. Like, we get how businesses work. The question is, what are people, tourists, coming to? And right now, yeah, like, the crime is an issue. We sort that out. No one actually realizes how crime fucks everything. People go, oh, you know, it's because it's a violent society. No, it's a jobless society. And people don't often just wake up and do crime because it's like they're a criminal. They just don't have anything. So crime becomes a way of life. And
you see, I'm calm after that explanation, because when I watched the video of our minister, he was just lecturing us to say, oh, guys, everybody has budgets and I'm just doing, you know, the right thing with my budget. And it was just like, but you're not answering our questions. You're not telling us why you're actually doing this and how it can help. And you know what I mean? Like, it was just like, read the room, sir. You just spending R1 billion and this international team, and then you're going to say international tourism, we're promoting that, and you guys shouldn't be upset at the fact that we're spending R1 billion. Like,
yeah, see, but
I'm just shocked. Sorry, I'm just shocked that anyone in government has applied any thought at all to anything. I mean, usually I thought that money was just dispersed without any good reason at all. I mean, at least Ben has given us something of a reason. There's a little bit of an explanation here, right?
Yeah. And look, it's like, you know, if you look at your marketing, any sort of product, there's a marketing mix to it. So you get the billboard, and then you get the activations, and then you get the other sort of, you know, special offers and packages. So it's all like a big mix. But some people are like, when you talk about reading the room, politicians are reading the room. The thing is, they're in different rooms to us every single day. When they wake up, they're never in our room. They don't know what fucking power shortages are. They don't know what traffic is because they're in their stupid blue light things. Politicians will never be in our room, so we can't expect them to read it.
Moonchild says, I can just imagine all the ANC elites sitting in the fancy private box eating caviar and drinking champagne on taxpayers' money. Yeah, I think that's what pisses us off more than anything else.
Yeah, because we know that that's going to be the case.
Tabo says, Ben, do you genuinely think that Arsenal's Visit Rwanda sleeve sponsorship has worked for tourism? I'd like to see the numbers. Otherwise, this thing is a hot steaming pile of horse shit.
Tabo, you can go onto the internet. There's been reviews around this. There's documents around this. But ultimately, all these things have risks, right? People can say, yeah, it's created X amount of new people coming in. And like I said, okay. it's part of a greater mix. You know, people need to understand that Rwanda exists, and then it's up to Rwanda to then have other things in place. Like, I've been there. It's worth visiting. And it's the same with this place. It's really, really is worth visiting. It's an incredible tourist destination. This is just the first step in getting people to come here. And we must all maybe play our own ball part, you know? Tell people all the time how great this is.
JP says, ever get so drunk that you think, hey, let me go to that country where I can't charge my phone?
That's amazing.
That's good. All right. We've got this note on the coffee machine suggestion. We're in the business at the moment of trying to find the right coffee machine for our new studio, Ben. So we're getting a whole lot of input from people. Take a look at this. Someone suggested this one.
Is someone trying to sell that to you? Is that why they're suggesting it?
I don't know. Looks like it. But someone said that to us. And we've also, we've had voice notes. We've had lots of suggestions. So, you know, we're narrowing it down. We're slowly getting a little bit better at this. Also, I think on your agenda this morning, and while we're talking about tourism, let's just talk about voluntourism, because Ben sent me a disturbing video the other day. It was, I think, on 60 Minutes or one of those shows in the US. Could have been in Australia as well. Basically, it's this idea that all of these people who volunteer to go to these other countries and like help the orphans or whatever else, they're actually, without knowing it, they're helping to promote a very bad cycle of abuse in those countries. And all of these do good, like Western tourists who are also trying to make themselves feel good. That's number one. They're not really trying to help. They're trying to make themselves feel good or look good. Are actually making the problem worse, because they're creating the conditions in terms of supply and demand for countries like Cambodia or Vietnam or whatever to find orphans and to create these terrible orphanages where they put these kids in absolute squalor so that the Western tourists come, give money, and they can keep getting their money. I mean, if they suddenly show that the orphanage is fully kitted out, every kid has a bed, they all get a warm meal twice, three times a day, then the money will dry up. So it's in their interest to keep these orphans in the most horrible conditions. And I'd never thought about this until you sent me this video, Ben.
Yeah, it really is quite depressing. So in its peak, the voluntourism industry is worth like $3 billion. And it's really clever. It's really clever as a business, seeing as you're talking about businesses this morning too. Basically, people realize that rich people need to go to places, but they're tired of going to Fiji and the Bahamas and traveling around Europe and all that kind of stuff. They want to create packages that make them look really virtuous, like nice people, but also kind of have a bit of a holiday. So they create all these voluntourism packages where you can go and help like African kids and sick kids and poor kids. And you can go do all these amazing things that make you look like one of those volunteers who dedicates their lives to others. You know, if you need to work with kids and around the world or work in these kind of places, you need a certain qualification. Like you need experience. You need to be part of these programs where you make zero. That's where volunteerism comes into it. You're really giving of your time. Okay. So like, you know, a lot of Christian missionaries over the time, they dedicate their lives to going to these places and trying to build communities. But that's a lot of hard work. If you're a rich kid having a bit of a college holiday, like that, you know, you got 2 weeks to be an amazing person. What can you give me for 2 weeks? So what these companies do is that they actually, as you say, that they place them in areas of poverty, which aren't often always there. And they're actually created. You know, if you look at in America, I think orphanages are kind of almost being done. Like they're not like they used to be. But in these third world countries, orphanages are actually increasing, not because of orphans, it's because of the business of orphans. Like you can't make up how horrible this is.
Apparently also, and the thing I didn't know about this, one of the things I didn't know about it, is that all of these volunteers pay to go to these countries. They pay like an agency that then sets up almost like photo opportunities for them with these orphans or whoever else it is. I mean, if that isn't exploitation, I don't know what is.
So what they do, like, so let's just say, for example, Cambodia, like, I don't have the actual stats around this, but this is the practice. There is an orphanage, it's a dilapidated old building, and there's like a few kids and their parents. What they do is they go into the surrounding villages and go, okay, you guys look poor. We're taking your kid for like a few months and here's some money or some maize or whatever. So they round up all these kids who actually do have parents. They put them in this orphanage and they treat them like absolute shit to make them even more downtrodden. Then when these amazing Canadian kids arrive, or these other, you know, morons, they're like, oh, these kids really, really need our help. And like, they really do, but they didn't previously. They were living lives. And now they get pushed through the system. So the more dilapidated the place looks, the more desperate the kids look, the more money they'll get sent. Yeah. So these businesses, they need stock, and these kids become their stock. So if they've got 50 orphans, they can get sort of grants that come every single year. And then the tour buses just go from place to place to place. It's like when you go to Greece and there's like five different places on the tour that you go to on a bus. It's exactly the same with these orphanages. And if you got like a club foot or there's something really wrong with you, even better, because then it's like better fed opportunities. Then, like, you know, Bernice from Ontario can say, look, this was me with young Jamal. And I read him stories and I would carry him to his favorite tree and he would like pick fruit. And then she would fuck off a week later. And this little kid is like, now what? Back to the hole.
Yeah. Right.
It is so sad. And, you know, going back to the qualifications again, like these kids go there and they teach the kids. So they stand there and they go, oh, I don't know how to teach. And then the person who's in charge of things like, just read the board, they'd be fine. And these kids are sitting there being taught. They're getting taught fuck all. And then they go and they go, oh, yeah, so what were you doing over the summer? Oh, I was in Indonesia building a school.
I built a school that taught some children some amazing.
And, you know, in some circles, and this is what's so disturbing, is, again, the incentive structure is all wrong. Because in some circles, you get more social credit. You get more, you know, more of your friends will be impressed by a story about you supposedly teaching, even though you're not, a bunch of kids in a poor country, than if you just donated to a soup kitchen down the road from you in, you know, Los Angeles.
Yeah, but there's no fair opportunity. So the thing about the building the school and stuff is that what happens is that they make these efforts. Oh, I've been laying bricks all day. It's been so great. But then they're going to demolish that because it's not structurally sound. Or worst case scenario, it actually goes to completion. That building then falls over in a couple of years and people die. And this is the reality of this kind of stuff. But you know, you've got your photo. You've gone back to your first world. Happy days at Christmas. Everyone can talk about what an incredible humanitarian you are.
Yeah, really. And people are doing this for clout. They're not doing it because they care. And this is the kind of superficial, performative society that we've become, where don't pay attention to what I'm actually doing. Just pay attention to what I want you to see, what I want you to think about me, which is just horrendous. Because there, as you mentioned earlier, Ben, there used to be people who did this stuff because they were good people who wanted to help. And they did it knowing full well that nobody was watching them. Nobody could see what they were up to, how they were, you know, building a school or spending 3 or 4 years in, you know, some tiny tribal community in Southeast Asia. And when they got home, people said, what did you do? And maybe 5 people would actually ask. And then 5 people would know if they sat down and listened to them. But they were doing it for the right reasons. Now, thanks to phones and social media, people are doing it for completely the wrong reasons.
So yeah, these companies that do it, I mean, you see these directors taking out like $1 million a year in profit because they just got these rich kids to go to these places and they've created basically like poverty zoos where you can go and engage, interact, and it's only making it worse because now other companies are going, shit, if I can find 20 downtrodden kids and I can put them into that building, I'll also get money. But these kids, no one's taking care of them. They're being taken away. And a lot of the time that they get abused just so that they can look more desperate.
Sure. Bad, right, Simpi? I mean, you don't think about it until someone explains this to you.
Yes. A few years ago, I heard about how, like, there's a business in begging and how like people actually make a lot of money from like the kids just chilling on the corner there begging the whole day. And I was horrified. I was like, oh my word, like there's nothing left. You know, you can't do a good random act of kindness anymore because that's going to feel something somewhere and yeah. you don't want to get into that mess. Now hearing this, I'm like, oh no, we really are messed up as a entire, not even country, just earth in general, because it's like something so good has now become like exploited. So even if I did want to do something that was helping a community, you don't know if that's truly helping the community or you're just making things worse for them. Like,
yeah. And it almost doesn't matter what you say because, you know, the reality or what you do, as long as it looks good, it's just, it's all like the theater, the performance, the acting has become a part of everything in society because actors have been taken way too seriously. Now acting is regarded as the real thing and it isn't.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, there was also that, I think it was that movie Slumdog Millionaire, where you see all those young kids in subways and some of them get their eyes like burnt, so they're blind, and then they sing, and that's how they get the sort of most money. There was even like a name for them. But they're these old crusty men who gathered up these kids, because there's so many kids obviously in India, and they make them blind, and then they sing, these blind singers, because that's what gets the rupees.
Imagine how horrible your life is, that you don't really have a say. Your eyes are like stabbed out and then you're made to beg on the street corner. I mean, that is probably something that we would not regard as being a constituent part of modern life, but it is scary. Yeah. Anyway, we thought we just needed to refer to that because I think if you pretend that everything is hunky dory and that, you know, these people who are supposedly doing so much good and are actually doing a huge amount of damage. If we just pretend that stuff's not going on, we're not helping the situation and we can't ignore it. We like to talk about real stuff on this show, funny and ridiculous. And as well as those, the serious things. So when we come back, we're going to go back to the ridiculous because.
Thanks.
Simpiwe wants to talk about mukbang and you've had enough. You say it's enough already.
It needs to be canceled. That's all I'm going to say. Cancel mukbang videos, cancel mukbang. Influencers, cancel the whole thing.
It's done, and I will explain why, and she'll tell us exactly what the problem is here with mukbang. Also, Ben wants to talk about AI porn, and should we encourage the opening of this frontier? We will talk about that in just a moment, because I don't know if you've got these WhatsApps from people. Friends of mine sent me like these videos where they've made. Like it looks like social situations with people, but none of the people in the pictures are real. They're all AI generated. In other words, they don't exist, but they look real. It's frightening. We'll get into all of that and more in just a little while. Stick around. CliffCentral.com. Friday morning, everybody. CliffCentral.com.